welcome with me Mike Clark to teach us God's Word today.
God bless. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to be before you this morning and get to teach God's Word. And I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Going to start there this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 3 is where we're going to start. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." You know, we are certainly very concerned with being saved, with salvation, with people accepting the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing him as Lord, believing in our hearts God raised him from the dead, and receiving God's gift of Holy Spirit and receiving eternal life. But anybody that's been around this fellowship for any length of time, or even maybe a very short period of time, also knows that we are very concerned about the latter part of that verse 4 as well, where it says to come into the knowledge of the truth. You know, Barb was talking about the name of Jesus Christ, and the name of Jesus Christ is more than just what he was called. It refers to the resources and the power and everything else that's behind that name. And God has done so much for us through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that we certainly don't want to leave any stone unturned in finding out all that he did for us. And that's where that coming unto the knowledge of the truth comes into play. What a sad day for Christians who get saved and then don't have any idea what that means, what all God has accomplished for them. So we are very concerned in this fellowship with coming unto that knowledge of the truth, so that we are fully knowledgeable, or as fully knowledgeable as we can become, of what God has accomplished for us in Jesus Christ. Because he was and is, as it says here, the one mediator between God and men. There is no other. And everything that he's accomplished for us in that ransom that he paid is something we certainly want to be knowledgeable of. And as we continue to grow in our knowledge of God's Word, another thing that we don't want to forget is believing. And that's a point that I wanted to cover with you this morning, because we certainly are very interested in gaining a knowledge of the truth and finding out all that God's done for us in Christ and sharing that information with others. But we don't want to just gain a wonderful head knowledge of God's Word. We want to see these things happening in our lives. You know, we want to experience those things, and believing is the key to letting loose, getting those words that we see on the page into manifestation, into evidence in our lives. Just like in the manifestations this morning, God told us, you know, the importance of going to his word, that he's given us a word. But then he talked about walking out on those things. And the walking out of those things is where the believing comes into play, because we walk by believing. And I want to go to Romans chapter 10, which is a wonderful section on believing. It really lays out the simplicity of this. And we're going to start in verse 1 of Romans chapter 10. Romans, of course, is the foundational doctrine to us in the church who have been born again, and it lays out all those wonderful redemptive realities of what Jesus Christ did accomplish for us and starts laying the groundwork for those things. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." They were very enthusiastic about what they were doing. They had a great zeal, but it wasn't based on the truth. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." You know, they were very enthusiastic about that which they were following, but the problem is what they were so enthusiastic about was over. You know, if it's March and I could get very excited about the Super Bowl, you know, and be telling you how my team's going to win and go through all these things, but if it's March, the Super Bowl happened in January. So regardless of all my enthusiasm, it's over, right? The teams were already determined. The winner's already determined. It's over. So my enthusiasm is sort of fruitless. It's to no purpose. And with Jesus Christ, he was the end of the law. There are no more legal requirements to be adhered to when it comes to righteousness. And they were ignorant of that. They were very enthusiastic about what they were doing, but it was over. It was over. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 5 says, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of believing speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." And I think most of you know, if you don't, there's a couple words in the Greek. One's the noun, one's the verb. Sometimes it's translated faith, sometimes it's translated believing, sometimes it's translated belief. Just for simplicity's sake, we're just going to refer to it as believing every place it's used, okay? And that way we don't have to guess at what we're talking about. And he says that the word of believing which we preach, and here it is in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith or believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And boy, what a wonderful truth that is in verse 17. That believing comes by hearing, and what needs to be heard is the word of God. That's what we need to hear in order to believe. You see, God is the prime mover when it comes to believing. He gives us that which we are to believe. You know, it's not, and as many of us used to think, some thing that we generated, something that started with us, and if we did it right, then God took knowledge of that and would go to work. It's totally opposite of that. God is the prime mover. He gives us that which is to be believed. And what we need to hear is the word of God. Once we've heard the word of God, then you and I have the freedom of will to make a choice if I'm going to believe this or if I am not. And in verse 8, where it said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of believing which we preach. I wanted to take you back to where this is quoted from in Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you would turn there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And read something with you here that I think is just wonderful. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to start in verse 9. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Believing comes by hearing the word. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9, it says, "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers." Maybe I ought to mention, Deuteronomy was written when God was preparing to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And in Deuteronomy, you have a lot of recounting of events that had gone on before as reminders, as well as preparation for them to get them ready to go in and receive basically the blessing that God had for them. You know, he said they just needed to go in and take it. He was going to clear the way for them. And that's what this is talking about here. Verse 10 says, "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Verse 14, But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now you may, some of those other verses may look a little familiar from what we read in Romans. In Romans it had been adapted to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I love what is said here regarding the Word of God. You know, because to many people, the Word of God is a mystery, and it's even presented to people as, well, you know, you've all heard the phrase, God works in mysterious ways, you know, as though it's something that's covered, something that's secret, that, you know, just maybe a chosen few or very few have any knowledge of. Quite the opposite is the case with God. Look, turn back to Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know, if God wants to keep a secret, he can keep a secret, and nobody will get it out of him. You know, nobody's going to say, oh, come on, just me and you. You know? No, if God wants to keep a secret, he'll keep a secret. But once he's made that secret known, it's no longer a secret. Once it's revealed, it's out there to be known. And God has revealed his word to us. And he did that not so it would stay a secret, not so it would be a mystery, but so that you and I could know. He wants us, like we read in Timothy, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And I think that's great over in Deuteronomy 30, just the way that's stated. You know, in verse 11 it says, hey, it's not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. You know, what God wanted from them, he made very plain to them. He said, God wasn't trying to hide anything from them, just like he's not trying to hide anything from us today. You know, he's made his word available to us so that we could get to know him, so that we could know all that we now have through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for that ransom that was paid. You know, so we could know about the righteousness, the justification, the sanctification, all these wonderful things, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace. You know, it's not supposed to be hidden. It's not supposed to be hidden anymore because he's made it known. He's revealed it. And it also says in these verses, verse 12 and 13, if you'll notice, it says, the last phrase says, that we may hear it and do it. Both of those verses, verse 12 and 13, that we may hear it and do it. The idea is that once we receive the instruction from God, our response will be to do it, right? To carry it out. And that's why he hasn't hidden it. He's made it known. Look at the book of Romans again, if you would, please, chapter 1. You know, God isn't trying to hide his word from us. He's put it near us so we can believe it. He's revealed it. He's made it known. In Romans chapter 1, we will start in verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. You know, Paul said he was separated out to carry forth this gospel of God, and this gospel of God was concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, raised according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That message was what he was to carry. That's what you and I are endeavoring to come unto the knowledge of the truth of, that ransom that was paid and what that all means to us. But in verse 5 it says, the reason he was doing it says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith or to believing among all nations. If you would turn to the last chapter of Romans, chapter 16, this same phrase that's in verse 5 where it says, for the obedience to the faith, is used again in Romans chapter 16 at the close of the epistle. In Romans 16, verse 25, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, it's revealed, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. That phrase occurs there again. It literally means believing obedience. That's what the simplicity of it is. You know, he's made this word known with the intent being that we would, just like they said in Deuteronomy, that we would hear it and then do it. That we would have that believing obedience when it comes to God's word. You know, and believing and obedience are very much linked together. They both start with hearing something. You know, it'd be very difficult to obey someone or to do what someone wanted you to do if you didn't know what that was, right? You know, you can't just say, well, just obey me. In what? What are you talking about? You first have to hear something, right? You have to hear it. Then once you've heard it, then you can make a decision whether you're going to do it or whether you're not going to do it. Believing obedience, you know, it's the same thing. We have to hear God's word. Once we've heard God's word, then it's up to you and I to decide whether we're going to believe it or whether we're going to reject it. And that's what he did. He gave us his word, the intent being that when we heard it, we would be obedient to it. We would believe it. We would carry out what he said. Just like in Deuteronomy, we would hear it and then do it. That's the reason God gave us this word. Another way that this is translated, which I think makes it very clear, this obedience of faith, with the intent to produce obedience, that is to say, believing. With the intent to produce obedience, that is to say, believing. That's why God gave us his word. The intent in giving us his word is that it would produce obedience, that is to say, believing, that you and I would hear and we would carry out what God's word says. And boy, this is just so crucial because, you know, without the believing of God's word, it's just information in our minds. But when we believe it, then we see things happen in our lives. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. See, when we believe God's word, it's demonstrated in our obedience to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Wonderful thing that Reverend Burke pointed out to us a number of years ago is the two italicized words you see in this verse, the it and the as. And we know when we see an italicized word in the King James Version, it's been added by the translators, hopefully to clarify the meaning or to better convey what was in the language that it was translated from. But in this instance, it really kind of reverses what the verse is saying, because you read it with the it and the as in there, and it almost sounds like a commentary on how they received it. You take those two words out, and you see it's a commentary on something quite different. You leave the it and the as out that were added. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received not the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." You know, you take the it and the as out, it has nothing to do with how they received it, that they received it as the word of God, but it's a commentary on what they received. What they received from Paul and Timothy and Silas when they were there was not the words of men. What they received was the word of God. The word of God. And it says that that word of God effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe. Believe. That word will work effectually. It will do what it says it will do. You know, God will bring to pass his promises when we simply believe that which he says. You see, it works effectually. That's why it's so important that we have the word of God. You see, like we read in Romans chapter 10, they were very zealous for God. They were very enthusiastic about it, but it wasn't based on the truth. See? So what did their zeal produce? Exactly. Nothing. Nothing. And that can be very discouraging to people to hear what you think is the word of God and endeavor to do it, endeavor to believe it, and then nothing happens. I mean, many people have been very, very hurt, very turned off by the word of God because what they thought they were receiving was the word of God, when in truth what they were receiving is simply the words of men. And they put their heart and soul into it and come up empty and think that it's a problem with God. But it's not a problem with God. It's a problem with what they were believing. See, and Paul made it very clear by revelation here that what he taught when he came into these people was not the words of men. It was the word of God. And the word of God will always work effectually when it's believed. You see, when you and I believe God's word, we can count on it. It will come to pass. It will happen. But that's why we're always so concerned about having the knowledge of the truth, that we do have the true word of God. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Great verse in Numbers 23:19. It seems like in our fellowship weekly, we've been going to that verse a lot, where it talks about God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. You know, if he says it, he'll do it. See? And many times what happens is, especially in light of 1 Thessalonians 2:13, being the words of men are the words of God, many times people equate God's word with man's word. You know, they don't elevate it to the position it should hold, because they just equate, well, they've seen men not always tell the truth. They've seen men not always do what they said they were going to do. And they equate that with the way God deals with us. And that's not the way God deals with us. See, if he says it, he will do it. And man also has a major problem. And that is that we don't have in ourselves the resources many times to bring to pass things that even well-intentionally we may want to do. You know, the simplest thing can throw us off track. You know, I can tell you I'm going to meet you over at the fellowship house at 7 o'clock, and I get stuck in a traffic jam down on 270. I don't make it at 7 o'clock. I meant to. I wanted to, but I couldn't get out of all these cars that were around me. See, something may hinder me. God never has that problem. God always has the resources, the power, everything necessary to bring his word to pass. See? That's why we can trust his word. It is a faithful word. Because he's never lacking for resources to bring to pass what he has promised. That's why when it says, you know, hey, have I spoken it and shall I not do it? Of course he will. See, because he doesn't get stuck in traffic jams. He always has the resources to carry out his word. That's why we can trust in his word. But that's why it's so important that we always be sure that what we have is the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, very familiar verse. Most of the verses I cover with you are very familiar verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, that right dividing, that right cutting of God's word. Tom uses the illustration many times of the jigsaw puzzle. You know, a jigsaw puzzle, those pieces, no matter how many times we may think it doesn't go there, you know, they all fit together to make the nice picture. But when we try to jam that one piece in there where it doesn't belong, we may get the little thing to fit with forcing it in. But when you keep building the picture, it's quite obvious that does not fit. You know, and we want to have God's word rightly divided. And if it is the word of God, it's got to be perfect from Genesis to Revelation. Anytime a piece doesn't fit, there's something wrong. See, because God didn't give an imperfect word, and it will fit from Genesis to Revelation. And that's why it's so important that we are sure that we have the word of God, because it's only the word of God that is going to work effectually when we believe it. Because only God has the resources, the power, everything else necessary to bring his word to pass. If we are believing in the words of men, we're going to be disappointed. Because it's not going to work effectually. And the sad thing is if we think we have the word of God and it turns out that it is the word of man, you know what we get? Nothing. Yes, nothing. Nothing happens. So if we are believing what we think to be the word of God and nothing's happening, maybe we need to reevaluate. Well, God is faithful. He will bring it to pass. So if I'm not seeing something come to pass, there must be something wrong. That's why we want to have that word rightly divided, where all the pieces fit together perfectly. Because read on in this section. It says here in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they build up the believing of some. No, it says they overthrew the believing of some. These two men, whoever they were obviously men that were well respected by individuals because these people listened to them. You know, they heard them speak, and I'm sure they thought what they were getting was the word of God, but rather than getting the effectual results, their believing got overturned. It got overthrown. That's why it's so important that, boy, we have that word of God rightly divided, so that when we believe it, then God will bring it to pass. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. But that believing is just so essential and something that we don't want to forget in all of our acquiring of knowledge, that we still need to believe it so that God can go to work. Hebrews chapter 4. and in verse 1. If you read in chapter 3, it's talking about, once again, the folks in the Old Testament who were getting ready to go into the Promised Land, but this isn't the guys in Deuteronomy. This is the previous group who had rebelled and thus resulted in the children of Israel wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years so that he could then take the ones in that Deuteronomy talks about. But in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." And see, that was God's intent in taking the children of Israel into the Promised Land. He wanted to give them rest. You know, he wanted to give them a land that would produce everything they needed to bless their lives. He was going to give them houses that they didn't build, crops they didn't plant, all those things, so that they could enter in there and love God and enjoy him. And that's what the rest was talking about. Verse 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with believing in them that heard it." You see, they had received the word of God, they had heard it, but when they heard it, they didn't do it. They didn't believe it. And so what they got, rather than rest, was 40 years of wandering around until they all died off, and then they took the kids in. But that was never God's intent. See, but they chose what they were going to believe, and what they chose was that which was not the word of God. They allowed fear and other things to direct them, and they didn't adhere to the word of God, and therefore they did not get the effectual results that God wanted to give to them. And boy, the wonderful thing is, we have had that word preached to us, and we want to see the profit of the word, because the word is profitable, right? It's profitable to us. It teaches us what and how to believe, you know, and reproves us when we're not and corrects us. But we want to have those results. As I said, we're not just interested in getting a lot of knowledge in our head so that we can be, you know, the smartest Christians around. You know, we can quote more verses and do those things. I'm really not interested in that at all. I want to see results. See, I want to see God at work in my life. And God wants to work in our lives. He wants to be alive in us. And it's in believing his word that we see those things happen. See, because it's believing that's that contact point that gets these words off the page and into evidence, into manifestation in our lives. Because, I mean, I can't think of anything more exciting than seeing the Word of God fit together, being taught something that just electrifies you. But if that's where it stops, we're missing the whole point, because he gave it to us with the intent that we would believe it, that we would be obedient to it and carry it out. See? If we just get the excitement of the head knowledge of the Word, we're missing the whole heart of the thing is that, hey, he gave it with the intention that we would obey it when we heard it, we would believe it and carry it out, that we would do it. Then in verse 12, talking about the word of God in Hebrews 4, it says, "For the word of God is quick, it is living." That's what quick means. "For the word of God is quick," or living, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, this word of God is alive. It's a living word. It's not like men's word. Men's words are dead. You know, but God's word is alive. Because as I said, he has the resources, he has the means to bring to pass that which he has promised. He's got the power behind it if you and I are simply willing to believe it. Now, if the gospel simply preached us and we don't believe it, then we end up like these guys that verse 2 talked about. They didn't get the profit, they didn't get the benefit. And what a wonderful thing it is that it's all free to us because such a huge ransom was paid in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's all there for us. If we never use it, it's still there. And if we never take advantage of it, God's love for us is not diminished in the least, because it wasn't anything that we did that brought it about to begin with. It was all because of his wonderful love in sending the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful love in giving his life as a ransom so that you and I could enjoy these things freely. But that word of God is living. It is powerful. And they had the word of God, but they simply refused to believe it. Look at Romans chapter 1 again, please. You know, this matter is really so simple, but yet it's so vitally important. Because there are a lot of smart Christians around. You know, there's a lot of people around that have a tremendous knowledge of God's Word. And if that's all that it took, well, we'd be in good shape. But somebody's got to believe it. Somebody's got to be willing to carry it out, to do it in order to get the results that God wants, that he desires for us to have. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, once again talking about this gospel that we read about earlier in verses 1 through 5. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what? Believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that's willing to believe it. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here again talking about the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You know, it's the same word of God in both instances. The word of God doesn't change. It's the same word of God presented to both groups. To the one, it's believed, and it's the power of God unto salvation. You know, when we do what we read in Romans chapter 10, when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we recognize His Lordship, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, at that moment, boom, we get the Spirit of God born within us, eternal life. That's the power of God when that gospel is believed. The other group hears the exact same word of God, and to them it's foolishness, and they're also perishing. Doesn't take, in my mind, it seems like a pretty simple decision. One believes it's the power of God, eternal life. The others laugh at it, and they're perishing. They're going to die, no eternal life. But it's the same word of God in both instances. Same word of God in both instances. The one think it's foolish, they perish. You and I believe it. It's the power of God into salvation. We get born again and receive eternal life because of that ransom that was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. It works effectually in us who believe it. It's to no profit to them who don't believe it. You know, and they get exactly what they want. They're going to perish. And we're going to have eternal life. But it's the same word of God in both instances. And that's what's so fantastic. And that's why, boy, it's so important that we have the Word of God. And once we have the Word of God, it will work effectually. God will bring that Word to pass. He will fulfill His promises in our lives when we're willing to simply believe that which He has told us. And it's all right here in this book. You know, that's why we're so concerned about coming unto the knowledge of the truth. See, so that we know that we have that Word of God. Because we don't want to be discouraged and be believing something that is not true, because then we don't get the effectual results. And as I said, many people have been very turned off against God for that very reason, because they thought they were hearing the Word of God. They did put their heart and soul into it and endeavor to do it, and they came up empty. Yeah. That's never God's intent. God always wants to bless. He is always seeking to bring His Word to pass. And you know, that's a wonderful thing with the Word of God as well, is that, you know, to the unbelievers, to those who don't want to believe, who are always saying, well, you know, yeah, if I see a miracle, then maybe I'll believe. You know, God has no interest in proving Himself to those people. But to those people who believe, God says over and over in His Word, prove me now. Prove me. Prove me. When we believe the Word, God wants to prove Himself to us. Well, let's look at it. Look at Romans 12. And I think that's just such a wonderful thing that God in His love, you know, there are those out there that don't want to believe. That's their right. That's their privilege. And they can reap the fruit of their unbelief. See? And they do. And God has no, you know, He chose to make His Word known through preaching, through people speaking it. And when that Word is spoken and rejected, you've made your choice. Why should God want to prove Himself to you? You don't want to hear it. But with those of us that do want to hear it, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And that word prove, that's what it means. It means to put it to the test. See, and I think that's so wonderful that to those of us who do believe, to whom that gospel is the power of God unto salvation for us, we've received that eternal life, it's not supposed to stop there. You know, our life starts with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole time we're on this earth till the gathering together, He wants us to continue believing so that He can prove Himself to us. You know, because our God wants us to know that He is faithful. He wants us to know that He will bring His Word to pass. He wants us to receive those effectual results and to receive the benefits of what we received when we got saved, when we got born again, to show just how wonderful that payment was that you and I received. You know, and it's all by God's grace that we have that. And our privilege is simply to go to the Word of God, study this Word of God, make sure we've got the Word of God, and then believe it. Just carry it out. Just do it. And then God takes care of everything else. He's the one that brings it to pass. You know, and the more we can get our focus on the Word and off of ourselves, the more we're going to see that happen in our lives. You know, so often we think that we have to work more on ourselves. I really need to work on this. I really need to work on that. No, what I need to work on is keeping the Word of God in my head and not all these other stupid things that come in and try to crowd it out. Because if I can just keep the Word of God in my head, then God will bring it to pass. If I can just walk forth and do what He says, He will bring it to pass. See, and I have nothing to do with that except believing it. See, that's all His responsibility, praise God. If it wasn't, we wouldn't see much happen at all. Because we are very limited in our abilities, in our knowledge, everything else. God, once again, is not. He has unlimited resources. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning, and just to remember as we are coming unto that knowledge of the truth, that the one thing we don't want to forget is believing, because that's what brings it off the page and into manifestation in our lives, okay? So Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege of sharing Your Word this morning. Thank You for the simplicity that in the way You set this whole thing up, Father, and how wonderful it is to know that You are not trying to hide anything from us. It's not supposed to be mysterious, but that You want us to know, You want us to understand, and You do want to bring Your Word to pass in our lives so that we can see the wonderful love that You have, that we can reap the wonderful benefits of the salvation that was paid for in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank You for just helping us to keep these things that simple in our hearts, that we can simply hold on to Your Word and not the things of our senses are trying to tell us, so that You do have the opportunity to bring it to pass as You want. Thank You for all of Your folks here this morning, for just Your abundant blessing on our lives, and for just making Yourself more real to us each day as we walk forth on Your Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.